Now, boys and girls, everything that you need should be up here. Grown-ups, it'll be great if you guys can grab a Bible and open it to Matthew chapter 8 as we think about these opening words of this next bit of Matthew. I'm going to pray. Boys and girls, put your hands together. Let's close our eyes and let's ask for God's help as we look at this story together. Father, we thank you so much for giving us Matthew's gospel. Father, thank you that we can read about the words and the encounters of our Lord Jesus. Teach us this morning to rely upon him. Teach us this morning what it looks like to follow him. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, boys and girls and grown-ups, you can think about this as well, but sometimes we learn something in a classroom, don't we? And then in the real world, we have to go and put it into practice. So maybe at the moment at school, some of you guys are learning to do adding up, or you're learning to do kind of number bonds, those kind of things. And then sometimes you're thinking, well, I'm in a classroom and this is all very good, but what do I use it for? And then sometimes you might go to a shop and you get to buy something and you have to add it all up. And you think, well, that's what it looks like in practice. That's what it looks like to use my adding up in the real world. It's true for us as grown-ups as well. A few years ago, I learned to ride a motorbike. And in this classroom, this man sat us down. It wasn't really a classroom, it was a hut. And he sat us down in this classroom and he said, right, this is what you need to do to ride a motorbike. And we sat down in this classroom and he told us all about the gears and the brakes. And he told us we had to look over our shoulder lots. And he told us all these really cool things that we had to do. But that was just in a classroom. And then he said, oh, now we're going to go outside and we're going to get on the motorbikes, and we're going to put it into practice. We're going to learn. We're going to go and drive around. Sometimes learning something in a classroom and putting them into practice are very different things. And boys and girls, as we come back to Matthew's gospel today, as we start thinking together, we actually first encounter Jesus up a mountain. He is in a classroom. He has gathered all his disciples to him in Matthew 5 to 7, and he has been teaching them in a classroom what it means to follow him. But in the opening words of our stories, grown up, you'll see this. What happens when Jesus came down the mountain? When he came down from the classroom, a large crowd followed him. What does it look like to follow Jesus down the mountain? What does it look like to follow Jesus, not just in a classroom, but in the real world where we live? And that's what we're going to be learning together in Matthew chapter 8 to 10. We're going to be learning what it looks like to follow Jesus in the real world, to follow Jesus in your classrooms, to follow Jesus here in Enfield, to follow Jesus in our families, not just when we're here at church, not just when we're in the classroom, but when we're out in the world, when we're in the places that God has put us. If you're going to call yourself a follower of Jesus, then Matthew chapter 8 to 10 will show you what it looks like, what it means to be a follower of Jesus wherever he's put you. And our very first lesson in following Jesus is taught to us by a man who had a terrible skin disease called leprosy. And let me read you what happened. He's going to teach us our first lesson in following Jesus. The words are on the screen, verse 1 and 2, grown-ups, if you've got your Bible. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, when he'd finished in the classroom with his disciples, large crowds followed him. And a man with leprosy came and knelt before him. Now, this poor man with this terrible disease, you can see he's got bandages and he's got marks on him. This man is going to teach us what it means to follow Jesus in the real world, in Enfield. And the first thing that we're going to learn is this. Following Jesus means kneeling before Jesus. That's going to hurt me today because I'm getting a bit old to kneel down lots of times. But hey, can you do that with me? We're going to get an action. So following Jesus means, and we're going to say it together, 1, 2, 3, kneeling before Jesus. Now, most of you grown-ups are not going to be able to do that because you'll bash your face in the chair in front. But if you boys and girls want to do that when we say that, that's what we're going to learn. Following Jesus, can we do it one more time, means, should we say it together? Kneeling before Jesus. You see, that's what we see this man doing. Boys and girls, have you ever been asked to do something that is just too difficult for you to do? Anyone been asked something too difficult? Can you give an example? of something. Maybe it was a bit of homework. Who's ever had a piece of homework?
I just went back to school and they were talking about complicated sentences.
Yeah. So Abby's gone back to school and she has been asked to do complicated sentences. I know. And what do you do when there's something? Oh, go on, give us another one, Clara.
I missed a day of school and I came back and they were doing negative numbers and I didn't understand a thing.
Whoa, I don't blame you. So Clara missed a day of school, came back the next day and they're doing negative numbers and she didn't know what to do. And sometimes when things are just too difficult for us, what do we do? What do you do when things are difficult? Well, you have to go and find somebody, don't you, who can help you. You have to find somebody who knows what they're doing. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a teacher. You have to go and look for a person who can help you. And actually, this is true, isn't it? Not just for boys and girls. This is true for us as grown-ups. Perhaps grown-ups don't like to admit it so much. But I started a DIY project in a house we used to live in. And I decided that I was going to fit a shower all by myself. And I thought I was very clever. And it was going really well. I had all the pipes in. I had the cabling in for the electric shower. And then suddenly I realized that there was something I just couldn't do. And I didn't want to admit it to Emma, but I had to. And I had to admit, I can't do this. And I had to get on the phone and ask somebody to help me. And in our story today, that's exactly what this man is doing when he comes and he kneels down before Jesus. He knows he's got a big problem. He knows that he's got this terrible skin disease called leprosy. And the thing that we need to understand today, whether we're young or old, is that this terrible skin disease wasn't just a problem with his body, although it was. He had to wear bandages and he had sores all over him. It wasn't just a problem with his body. Because he had this terrible skin disease, he also had to live away from other people. This man had to live outside the village. And also, this man was no longer allowed to go to the temple to worship God. He was called unclean. Can we say that together? Unclean. Maybe you've been unclean sometimes. Maybe you've gone and played out in the garden and you've got all muddy and you try and come back into the house and your mum or your dad scream at you, "Stop! Don't bring those muddy shoes in here." And you're unclean, and you have to leave your unclean shoes outside. Well, this poor man was considered unclean. My friend had his little boy had chicken pox recently. Anyone have had chicken pox here? Any of the grown-ups had chicken pox? If you've ever had chicken pox, what happened to my friend's little boy is they had to keep him away from other children. And he hated it. He loves playing with other children. And only for a few days, but he had to be kept away from everybody. Now, can you imagine that if you had to do that every day of your life, had to stay away from others? You see, this man here, this man with leprosy, knew that he had a big problem. And he knew that he couldn't do anything about it. He couldn't help himself. He couldn't fix himself. So what did he do? Boys and girls, what did he do? Do you remember? What did he do? Yeah, what did he do? That's right. He came and he kneeled down in front of this Jesus. Can we say together, following Jesus means? Can we do the action if you can? Kneeling down before Jesus. And in this action of coming to Jesus and kneeling before him, he was saying in his heart, "I have a big problem. And I can't do anything about it. I need someone to help." We see it in his words as well. "Lord," he says, "you've got some power to help me." See, maybe he'd heard the stories of Jesus going around and healing people, even people with leprosy. Maybe he'd heard those stories and he was thinking, "Yes, Jesus is coming. He can help me." And so he comes and he kneels down before Jesus. "I have a problem and Jesus can help me." Now, boys and girls and grown-ups, here is the first lesson in following Jesus in the real world. If you're going to call yourself a follower of Jesus, or you think you want to call yourself a follower of Jesus, then here is the first thing that we have to learn. Because we are a bit like this man with this terrible problem. None of us here have leprosy, or at least I don't think we do. None of us here have leprosy, but we do have a terrible problem. And it's a problem that we can't fix ourselves. And it's a problem that makes us unclean before God. Does anyone know what that problem is? Anyone know? Angela? That's it. It's the problem that the Bible calls sin. It clings to us like a terrible disease. And no matter how hard we try, we just can't get it off. Has anyone here ever had that, one of those days where you think, today I'm going to be really good. Today I'm going to try and do everything that God wants me to do. Today I'm going to try and be really kind with people. It doesn't take long, does it, before we realize that no matter how hard we try, we just can't fix our problem. And when we have a terrible problem of the sin, it makes us unclean. Can we say that word together? Unclean. And it keeps us away from God. And if this problem of being unclean is not dealt with, it's a problem that will keep us away from God, not just now, but forever. We need to face up to our problem. We need to face up to this issue that we have, and then we need to come to the one who has power to help us. You see, here's the first lesson in following Jesus. Can you say it with me? What is it? Following Jesus means kneeling before him. It means kneeling before Jesus. That's the very first lesson in following Jesus in the real world. We have a problem and we can't do anything about it. And we need to come and kneel down before him. Humble yourself before him. And do what? What's the very next thing that the man does? What's the next lesson? Here it is. Let me say it and we'll do it together. So following Jesus means kneeling down before Jesus. But it also means, can we do it together? Calling out to Jesus. So should we do the two together? Following Jesus means kneeling down before Jesus and calling out to Jesus. See, the man doesn't just come and kneel down before Jesus, but he then uses his words. He comes to Jesus and he says this. Let me put the words up on the screen. A man with leprosy, verse 2, adults, if you've got your Bibles. A man with leprosy came and knelt down before Jesus, and he said, can we say this together? Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He asks Jesus to make him clean. Jesus, if you want to, you have all the power to get rid of my terrible skin disease. You have the power to make me clean. Not just to fix my body, but to mean that I can come back and live with God's people and live with God. He uses his words to ask Jesus for help. And boys and girls and grown-ups here, if we are going to be followers of Jesus in the real world, the first thing that we've got to do is kneel down before him and we've got to ask him for help. Following Jesus means asking Jesus to make us clean. To forgive us of our sins and the things that keep us away from God. Can I ask you this morning, whether you're young here or whether you're older, use that sensitively, whether you're older here this morning, is that something that you have done? If you're going to call yourself a follower of Jesus, then you have to ask Jesus to make you clean. You have to ask Jesus to forgive you. And friends, you don't have to wait for someone in the future to do that. You could do that now. Jesus, please make me clean. Forgive me. And for the rest of us that may have already come and knelt before Jesus and be asking Jesus to make me clean, do you continue doing that? Every day as a follower of Jesus, I need to come to Jesus, kneel before him and say, Jesus, make me clean. That's what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. So boys and girls, I know you've done some good listening this morning, but we're just going to try and tune in. Let's see if we can recap what we've learned so far, okay? So here's what we've been learning. Following Jesus means, should we do it, say it nice and loud together? Kneeling before Jesus and calling out to Jesus. And then here's the third lesson that we're going to see this morning from this man with a terrible skin disease. Following Jesus means being helped by Jesus. I'm going to put this, look at the big smile he's got on his face over here. Now we need an action for this because it's like getting a gift. So can you give me your best kind of receiving a gift face? Yeah, that's brilliant. Oh, Zebby, that's a very interesting getting a gift face. That's because he knows the sort of gifts we buy him. So here it is. Following Jesus means being helped by Jesus. Wow. Can we say that together? Following Jesus means Being helped by Jesus. Now, here's another question for you, boys and girls and grown-ups. Have you ever asked somebody to help you and they have said no? You ever had that? Yeah. So maybe you've gone to a teacher and you've said, oh, I can't do this piece of work, please help me. And they've said, no, you need to learn to do it by yourself. You ever had that? No, teachers are so harsh. Amy Brown's looking at me like, I would never do such a thing. I know you won't believe this, okay, but I have occasionally asked my children to help me clear the dinner table. And what answer do you think I get sometimes? What do I get, Zibby?
No,
that is exactly the answer I get. See, sometimes we ask people for help, but they don't want to help us. But here's something to think about as we look at this story. Is that what Jesus is like? Is Jesus the sort of person who, as people come to him, as they kneel down before him, as they plead for help, is he the sort of person who says, no? Is he that sort of person? No. Just look carefully, grown-ups, if you've got your Bibles, just look at the words that Jesus uses. He says, let's put them up on the screen here, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man and he said, I am willing. I want to do this. From the bottom of my heart, I want to help you. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Did Jesus say no? No. He wanted to make the man clean. And he wants to make people clean, people like us. And he didn't just heal this man's skin disease, but actually he made him clean. He made it so that this man, look how big the smile is on his face over here. His bandages are gone, his sores are gone, and now he can come back and he can live with people and he can live once again with God. He can go back to the temple. And grown-ups, if you've got your Bible, that's why Jesus goes on to say, go show yourself to the priests. Because it was the priest in those days who could confirm that this man was really healed. It was them who could confirm that this man was allowed back to live with God's people and allowed back to the temple. See, Jesus gave this man a new life. He gave him a fresh start. He turned his whole world upside down. Just think about the difference, okay? Here he is. He's unclean. And what is he over here? He's clean. Over here, he's sick. But over here, he's healed. Over here, he had to live away from people and away from God. And yet here, he's able to come back in and be with God's people. Outsider, insider. As we fall down, friends, before Jesus, as we come and we call out to him for help, do you know what? Jesus wants to help us too. He gave us the chance to be clean as we come to him. Let me point out something in this story. Now, younger ones, you can think about this very carefully, and grown-ups, you can see this in the Bible too. It was not normal in those days for somebody to reach out their hand and to touch a man who had leprosy. If we'd have done that, we would have been unclean too. We would have been counted unclean. We would, at least for a day, have had to live away from God's people, and we would have had to live away from the temple. We couldn't have gone to worship God. But Jesus, what does Jesus do? Jesus reaches out his hand and he touches this man to make him clean. Now, can I show you something super important about Jesus? Because this reaching out his hand and touching the man teaches us something about what Jesus came to do, to heal us, to make us clean. See, Jesus doesn't just reach out his hand to help us, but Jesus reaches out with his whole person. Jesus left heaven and he came to earth to live in this unclean world, which is full of people who don't want anything to do with God, full of people who sin. And Jesus willingly, because he wanted to, went to a cross. And he took all the uncleanness of me and people who trust him, and he took it upon himself at the cross. And do you know what happened at the cross? Just like this man over here, Jesus was taken outside of the city. He was taken away from where the people lived, and he was crucified. And not only was he living away from people, had to be taken away from people, but at the cross, do you remember the words Jesus said? He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he was unclean for me, because he took all my sin, he was cut off from God and he was cut off from people. Now, why did he do it? Why did he do that? Why did he reach out to us in that kind of way? So that he could make people like us clean. Can we say that? He makes people like us clean. He forgives us of all the things that mean we have to stay away from God and stay away from God's people. Jesus wants to help people like us by making us clean. Now, why? Maybe you're here this morning and you think to yourself, well, why would God want to help someone like me? Why would God want to make someone like me clean? And Jesus tells us in these words. He says, because I want to. I'm willing to. I loved you so much that I want to help you. I want to make you clean. And so, you see, friends, as we come to Matthew chapter 8 to 10, here is the very first lesson in what it means to follow Jesus in the real world. If you want to call yourself a follower of Jesus, if you go to school and you tell your friends that you're a follower of Jesus, grown-ups, if you want to call yourself a follower of Jesus, then here is the very first lesson from this man with leprosy. Can we do the three things together? Let's get them back up on the screen. Following Jesus means kneeling before Jesus. It means calling out to Jesus. And it means being helped by Jesus. That's what following Jesus looks like in the real world. That is what following Jesus looks like down the mountain in Enfield, where we live. That's what following Jesus looks like to begin with. And that's what following Jesus looks like as you carry on following him. And my question for you, whether you're young or older here today, is will you do that? Have you done that? Just as we finish up, Jesus asks the man to go show himself to the priests. If you've got your Bibles there, grown-ups, you'll see this. Go show yourselves to the priests, verse 4, as a testimony to them. A testimony is a proof. A testimony is an evidence. And this man, this healing that we have recorded for us is an evidence. It's a proof, a testimony that Jesus really can make people clean. That Jesus really can bring people back together with God. And so my question to you is, will you believe this testimony? And will you do something about it? Can we do these one more time? Following Jesus means, nice and loud, boys and girls, okay? It means kneeling before Jesus. It means calling out to Jesus. And it means being helped by Jesus. May God help us to do that as we seek to be followers of Jesus together. Let's pray, shall we? God, our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this story which teaches us what it looks like to follow Jesus. Thank you for Jesus' willingness to make us clean. Thank you that he reached out, not just with his hand, but his whole person as he left heaven and came to earth to make people like us clean. Lord Jesus, we're sorry for our uncleanness. Lord Jesus, please make us clean. Forgive us of all our sins. And thank you, Jesus, that as we ask you, you love to help. Amen. Great. Well, we're going to sing a song as we finish up to pick up on some of that. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. You've done great listening this morning, boys and girls. Let's stand and let's sing together.